All right, before we get into class, I want to propose a couple of things for y'all for next year. So you have time to mull it over, ponder it, cogitate on it, whatever system you use. Stan taught this class for, like, eternity. I personally don't want to teach this class for eternity. I don't want it to be my only, that it's my job from now on forever. I like teaching it. But as you all know, everybody learns more when you teach than you do when you're sitting. So here are two things I'd like for us to contemplate for next year. I'm still going to teach it next year unless y'all throw me out. But I'd like for us to extend our class to an hour and spend, I knew Pat was there, she's already talked to me about it, but I want to know what y'all think, and spend the first 15 minutes each class time with somebody in the class presenting either a psalm or one of the Proverbs, just some little short something for the first 10 minutes or so, and then we get into the regular class. That's my first suggestion. My second suggestion is that the first Wednesday of every month, or the third Wednesday, or the when the moon's full and the stars are in alignment, or whatever, we have a sign-up sheet and somebody else teaches on that time. And it can be a lesson just that you chose, so you're not limited to what's being taught in class. Sometimes it's really hard to teach other people's material. What do you think? You have time to think about it. I've got a thumbs up back there. I've got blank stares from most people. Deer in the headlights. Okay.
Number one, maybe. Number two, no.
All right, I'll accept that, but why?
I don't feel comfortable getting up, you know.
But you would feel comfortable doing a short one, presenting a Psalms or a Proverbs for a 5 to 10 minute thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe 2 minutes.
And that's okay, too. That's okay, too. Nobody would be having a stopwatch. It's just an opportunity, first of all, to do some personal study, because you have to do it to get up in front of a class, and to get a little more comfortable being up in front of a class, because part of what we're supposed to do is teach others. And if we never, ever, ever practice it, then we're not going to do it. And what better place to practice it than with people who love you and don't ever want anybody to fail? I dated a guy one time, and he came to church with me occasionally, but he wasn't very interested. He liked coming. He liked the people. He wasn't interested in learning anything, but he enjoyed the social aspect. And one time he said, I could never do that. Talking about the prayers and the being at the table. And I said, why is that? Because this is a college professor. He stood up in front of people every day and talked. And I said, why not? And he said, well, what if I blew it? I said, all right, you've been with me enough times. You've heard people make mistakes in their prayers. You've heard song leaders get on the wrong note. You've seen people on the table go, oops, I forgot that bench. I said, have you ever seen anybody in the congregation go, ha, 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 ha? He said, well, no, of course not. I said, because everybody there is going, you can do this, you can do this. It's the most supportive group you'd ever hope to find. So that's my little spiel, and I'll have to tell Mother about it at home.
Car problem.
Oh, no. What happened?
It's a long story.
Okay. That's all right.
You're here.
You're here, and that's okay. So... anyway, those are my two suggestions. And there are enough people in the class already that would sign up to teach one time. Sometime. If everybody did it, we can't get everybody in a year just doing it once a month. So, and maybe some of the little ones would help people be encouraged to do something more than that. So that's my offering. We'll talk about it some more. But
could we do it from our seat?
I don't care. I'm careful. Standing up, and sometimes standing up in front of people is an issue for people. All we're here about is learning. I actually wish we had a room that had a big circle of chairs and that we sat in a circle instead of like this. So,
can we do that? Couldn't we do that in one of the classrooms?
Do we have a classroom big enough that we could get everybody in a circle?
Do we have an empty classroom?
Well, that one in the back where the guys meet sometime has chairs.
I was going to say, I think the closest one to it is where Tracy teaches over here. Or is it the boys?
this room right here, it's got the long table around it. I don't know how many.
I don't think we could get in there.
Doesn't one of the little ones over there have a round table? I don't think we could all get in there, though. Mm-hmm.
But that's more conducive to us having discussion. You know? So, you know, sitting down from your pew and doing that, that's fine. Doesn't make any difference in our learning, which is what we're trying to do here. And I think it'd be much better if Carol could see Laura instead of Laura seeing the back of Carol's head. So, I don't know, maybe we'll just start dragging folding chairs and be in the lobby. We can do that. So anyway, just some things to think about, because I don't think any class anywhere. Now, I will say that I think flipping teachers too often is not a good thing. I think you need the continuity of it. But I don't think anybody should be teacher for life, except maybe Velma Stanley, because she was that good. All right. According to my source, we're starting with Chapter 11. That's you, Carol.
Well, I'm just looking to see if everybody else agreed.
I've been gone for 2 weeks, so is that right? Is that what y'all are seeing?
What I told Carol, Caroline, when she called the other night, said, "Where are we?"
Well, as usual, I like to go back to the questions first, because I think they kind of help us introduce some things, and we'll probably flip back and forth on this lesson. The first question on page 111 says, estimate what percent of your day is spent working, and that means working for pay, because all of us work all day. But it says, is it high enough to make it important to learn to really enjoy working? And on page 111.
You're way ahead.
I'm way ahead?
Yes.
I thought we were on chapter 11, what you communicate through your work. 11. I said I was going to start with the questions to introduce the chapter.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were... Never mind. I misunderstood what you said. Go ahead.
Okay, so am I right? Because I've been gone for 2 weeks.
I thought you went back to the last question.
Oh, did y'all not finish those questions?
Yes, we did. That's what I thought you were doing. That's why I...
Okay.
I'm sorry.
So, yes, I am at the questions of the chapter we're starting, and I'm not going to do all of them, but there are a few I want us to talk about before we get into talking about communicating at work. So, it says, is the percentage of the time spent in paid work... And I would venture to say unpaid work as well, our home. Important, is it high enough to make it important that we are happy in what we are doing? The question is, how valuable is this to you that you enjoy what you do? Is that valuable? Is it important?
I think so. I think it'd be like torment, going for 8 hours or something you hated.
Right. So, a lot of, I know that we're dealing with some of this with Kaylee because she's 19. She hasn't learned some things yet that she will learn later. I hate my job. Well, she works at a deli. And I can't imagine that you get up every morning and go, woo, I get to go serve sandwiches. But it's training for other things. And I said, but that's why it's so important to love what you do, whether you're going to work out in the public for pay, whether you're going to be at home caring for your family. You've got to love what you do. Is it possible to learn to love what you do, even if you don't start out doing that? Yeah, because if you school yourself to look for the bright spots.
That's the secret.
Yeah. That's now, every single job that I've ever held, including being a stay-at-home mom, had days that made me want to pound my head against the wall and never show my face again. When I had worked for a long time when we had Clay, because we were married a long time before we had kids, and people said, you're going to be bored staying at home. I said, well, I haven't had a job yet that I wasn't bored sometimes. Every job I've ever held had a day or two every now and then that I was bored. That's the nature of life. You know, it's not all fun and excitement. But what we have to learn is to find the good, operate in that, and operate as if what we're doing is valuable. Now, if you're involved in something and you can't find any value in it, then you should leave. You should leave. If you can't find some reason that's important to someone, and I will tell you, I was in a restaurant the other day, and a Chinese buffet, and I was watching this little Chinese lady come out and check the buffet dishes, and when they were getting low, she'd disappear for a while, and she'd come out with some fresh food and put in it. And I was really grateful to her for doing that, because I was getting all this nice fresh food. But the other part of my brain was going, I would slit my wrists. If that's what I had to get up and do every day, is just fill up those dishes and go back and cook a little bit and put it in, there, I would find it hard to find value in that. There is value in that because I'm on the other end eating it and enjoying it. But, and if she feels, and I know there are many people who cook for a living, and they, you hear them talk about that. I love watching the people enjoy what I've done. So there's value in it to them. But if you're in a job where you can't find the value, I think you're not going to exhibit a Christian attitude. You're not going to be joyful. You're not going to let a light shine. Now, that's just my opinion on that one. But if we're always a sourpuss at work, why would anybody want to be a Christian if they're watching us and we're always doom and gloom?
When Todd was a teenager, he flitted from one job to another. It just drove us crazy, you know, he went. So I said something to him one time, and he said, well, I'm learning what I don't want to do. And
right.
I thought, well, that's
there's value good. In that. There's value in that. I told Kaylee the reason she was working at the deli was to help her remember that staying in college was a good thing.
Yeah.
She'd get a different kind of job later.
I told her Sunday, just do it.
She told me. Miss Carol said, just do it. I said, yes, Miss Carol's right.
Having been through the toll booth at the airport 4 times in 2 weeks, I can't imagine doing that.
But, and some of those people are absolutely nasty and hateful. And then occasionally, you'll find that cheery person who's asking you how you are and telling you to have a blessed day and, you know, all these things.
In this little bitty cubicle, I'm thinking,
I always wonder how they get there. I mean, I know they've got to park somewhere else and then they've got to walk through all that stuff to get there.
Or they have to go to the bathroom all of a sudden. How far away is that?
So the only other one I want to talk about before we go back and get into the lesson is number 4. Have you noticed a correlation between how well a woman feels mentally, physically, and how busy she stays? It's really hard to be busy if you feel bad. If you feel bad emotionally, if you feel bad physically, it's hard to get up and get moving, or at least it is for me. I tend to be a real slug when I feel bad. So we're going to come back to that, but just kind of hold that thought that that's one of the things underpinning how well we do our work. All right, so back at the beginning of the chapter, what do you communicate through your work? To work or not to work outside the home has long been a debated question among Christian women. Obviously, it's all right for a single woman to work, which I think is funny that she says obviously, but you have to eat. But the question usually arises when a woman who's also a wife and a mother considers going to work. Since the Bible doesn't give a shalt or shalt not for this, it will have to be answered by comparing it with the principles the Bible does give for guiding a woman's behavior. If a Christian woman decides she should go to work, she must determine that it will not interfere with any of these priorities. The kingdom of God comes first. Let's read these scriptures. Carol, would you start with Matthew 6:33? Sharon, 1 Peter 3:15. Mother, 1 John 3:17. And Mary, Romans 12:13. Joe, Ephesians 5:33. Pat, Proverbs 22:6. And Linda, 1 Corinthians 10:31. Okay, Carol, kingdom of God must always come first.
Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you.
I think sometimes we really, really overlook that scripture. Seek first. Seek first. Not just let it be there and let it be first. Willingly, actively seeking to put God first in our life. Okay, an obligation to teach the law. Sharon, 1 Peter 3:15.
Says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear.
Helping the needy. 1 John 3:17.
Whoever has the world's good and holds his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him?
Okay, we're going to come back and talk about these after we've read through them. Mary, we can't neglect to be hospitable.
Romans 12:13. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality.
Ephesians 5:33.
Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband.
Training our children.
Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it.
And then glorifying God, 1 Corinthians 10:31.
Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all in the glory of God.
Okay, so, a lot of things we're already told to do. I can fill up your time right there with just these beginning principles. But let's talk about paid work outside the home. Now, we have to understand that our work at home can also interfere. We can get so caught up in our work at home that we forget to do these things. But for the purpose of this class right now, let's talk about paid or volunteer work outside the home. The kingdom of God must always come first. So you have a job that going into it, you know you have to work every Sunday night and every third Wednesday. What do you do? Pays real well. Works your schedule with your family pretty well. What do you do about that job?
You seek to find another.
Particularly if you're just going into it, there's so little to be lost at that point. Now, let's say your job changes. You've been at this job for 5 years, and you get a promotion. And that promotion means that you travel every weekend, and you'll be gone most Sunday mornings. You'll be back for Sunday evening. What do you do?
Keep looking.
Very difficult to do.
Yes. Well, they're difficult. The problem is there, you know, you might be trying to feed a family.
Right.
You're trying to meet
right. Some real issues.
And
that,
real that serious
one
has issues.
An alternative. If you are away, perhaps you can find a
worship.
And worship.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's right.
Which would not be home, but it would be
still glorifying God. And I'm not ever, as we go through this, there's no answer because the scripture doesn't tell us how to do this. How to do this one. We just have to use our best judgment. There are also times that work will come up and you're going to miss several for a while, but it's temporary. Again, you're going to be there for Sunday evening. Are you still going to be fulfilling your obligation to make an offering to the Lord? That really gets under my skin. People leave town and they think because they're gone that their obligation to lay by in store has been lifted somehow, and I'm not sure really where they get that one. But putting God first.
Some people that leave town and think that they don't have to worship because they're away.
Yeah.
And so they don't look for a congregation somewhere.
And I've told you often about this friend that I work with, sometimes, and her husband said, "I don't get it. She just goes to a random church someplace. She doesn't know anybody there." Because he doesn't get it. He doesn't know why I'm attending services. I'm not going so I can have lunch with somebody, although that happens pretty often. I'm going to worship God. But the world doesn't understand that very well.
But when we go to other congregations, we either find somebody that we do know and didn't know they were there.
Right.
Or a mutual friend.
Somebody that knows somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was when Bonnie and I were in Portland, Oregon several years ago. We went to services and ran into J.D. Tant the fourth.
Yeah. Well, I told y'all I found Kaylee's roommate the last time I was out of town. Set them up together. So, and it's very encouraging, I think, when people come to visit and they're traveling and we know they've pulled that time out to come worship with us. The people that were here Sunday from Salem, Oregon. And, you know, they were here on business and I wrote her a little note, and her daughter goes to Weatherford College, granddaughter. I said, "Could I bring your granddaughter to services? Would she come? Will you give me contact information?" I haven't heard back from her yet. I just mailed it yesterday. But, you know, maybe that young lady would come if somebody said, "I'll come get you. I'll take you," because she was here with her grandmother. Now, maybe she was just here because it was her grandmother, but it's worth finding out.
They said they had visited here before. He said they had.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. I didn't recognize it.
I didn't either, but you know, a lot of times people come in the back and they're gone before.
Right. Well, that's why Roger wanted to start sitting back here so he could catch people before they could dash out the door. Okay, so if we're thinking about volunteer work or paid work or whatever we do, Kingdom of God comes first. How do we make certain that we are meeting our obligation to glorify and worship God and meet with the saints and encourage others? So that's first. We have an obligation to teach the lost. Does this infringe on that time or opportunity? Now, my thought is that probably it actually gives you a little more opportunity if you take the opportunity. And a lot of people will not. You have to be careful in our society in a workplace setting. It has to be at lunch or it has to be before or after work. But the opportunities still exist. I had a young lady that worked for my organization several years ago, and she would leave her home early. She worked in the child care facility, and she would go sit in her car and read scriptures until it was time to go in. And one day, I got there real early, and she was in her car. Later, I said, "What are you doing, taking a nap?" And she said, "No, I was studying." And she said, "No, we were still before work, you know, still like 3 minutes before work." She said, "I just want to find somebody that talks about the book." I said, "Have I got a deal for you?" And she visited, and she was, several of y'all know her, Kelly Thomas. She was baptized shortly thereafter. But she was using her time and opportunity to study. And she didn't hesitate to talk to others about what she had learned. I'm going to combine these next two. We must help the needy and be hospitable. A lot of times people will use these as reasons to have paid employment. This will help me have enough money to help the needy. It will help me have more money for being hospitable. And that can be true. I mean, I'm not denying that. But it can also really, really cut into that. If you're going out and being paid to work 8 hours and it takes you another hour on either side, you know, to get there and get home, and then you want to have company, that's kind of hard. So if you're not careful, it can really infringe on that. We must respect our husbands. So if the outside working means that we quit doing the things that manage the home because we're told that we're to keep the home, then I think that's a problem. That's my opinion. What's your opinion on that? Because a lot of people, lots and lots and lots of women work full-time anymore. That's not uncommon. In fact, staying home is the more uncommon. What do you think about that?
We kind of have to watch and not watching what the world's doing and be sure we're watching what the Lord has said.
Right.
And what our attitude is when we come home. Are we too tired? And we can't leave it at work or
right.
Bring it home with us, whether mentally or
right.
Actually bring
mm-hmm.
the work home to do. We just have to watch
right.
How that's affecting
so that we're not
us with our dealings
our
with others.
Mm-hmm. And now, I personally don't believe that you have to actually put the chicken in the oven and roast it in order to take care of your family. I think Albertsons does a great job on roasting those chickens. But I do think, like you said, that you can easily become lost in the I'm too tired or I'm still thinking about work, and family gets shunted to the side. And I think that's a very real possibility that we have to work against.
Is there a scripture that tells wives to love their husbands?
There's a scripture that
says that the older women teach the men to love their husbands. But as far as, I mean, you know, husbands are told to love their wives.
No, and I think it's really important that it's said that way. It shows us it's learned behavior.
Right.
That you don't just naturally love them. Because they're boys.
They're all boys.
You have to be taught. But yes, the obvious implication of that is that you should indeed love your husband because that's what you've been taught to do. And love has lots and lots of faces. Somebody else is bound to want to say something on that.
Actions speak louder than words.
That's right. Oh, honey, I love you, I love you, I love you. I'm never home. I don't pay any attention to you. I don't do anything for you. I don't support you and build you up. But, oh, I love you, I love you.
Hug springs.
Others that never say the word, but their actions speak.
Right. For some people, saying the words is really hard. I'm not, I don't quite understand that, but I know it to be true. So, we have to train our children. If we are working outside the home, are we giving over the training of our children to other people constantly? My personal opinion is that there's a big difference between working when they could be home with you and working when most kids are going to go to school. A lot of people don't want to send them to school. They're going to teach them at home. And that's okay, too. But I'm just saying, are we giving up time with our children where we should be training them to go out and get this job? Now, I never had this big career need. I know some women do. You know, they want to be the CEO. They want to be this. They want to be that. And I went back to work because Randy left, and I had to feed my kids. But I never had this big need to run up the ladder. In fact, when Roger and I met and I was working over at Region 10, he said, he was learning about what I did, and he said, well, is there advancement there? And I said, no. The next one up is my boss, and she's not going to retire for 10 years. And he said, well, how do you feel about that? I said, great. I don't want to be a supervisor. I don't like supervising. Because my tendency is to tell people, just do your job. Don't make me have to come talk to you about it. It's so irritating.
Well, and the more responsibility you have, I was like you. The more responsibility you have, then the more you bring home
and take on. Uh-huh. And you know, my favorite jobs have been when I didn't have to tell other people how to behave
or do their appraisals.
Oh, I hate that. I had to appraise one lady. She didn't work for me. She was assigned to me for evaluation, but she worked for somebody else, and I kept saying, how do I do this? how do I know how she does her work? So anyway, training our children, we can't let that go. And glorifying God in whatever we do. There are jobs that you cannot do as a Christian, period. You can't be a Christian and be a bookie. Sorry, can't do that. Sorry, Mother, you have to give that one up. And there are other jobs that I think... You know, could you work for the Lottery Commission for the state of Texas? I don't think so. I don't think you could. Could you work at a convenience store that sells lottery tickets? You know, it gets very fuzzy as you go along. Can you work at a grocery store where they sell cigarettes? Cigarettes aren't illegal. They're not good for you. They're not smart. So I think all of these things kind of meld together, and you've got to really carefully look at the decision you're about to make. Because sometimes after you make it the first time, you're kind of stuck. Roger has a nephew that works for a tobacco company. He doesn't like it. He doesn't agree with it. He makes a lot of money. So he's still there. Says he's going to leave. Says he's getting this training, this background, he's going to leave. Because he can't support the principles that they maintain. They're still there. Money is a devilish device.
But you know, as a Christian, if we decide it's wrong, we quit.
Right.
He's not a Christian.
He's not a Christian.
But if we see something that we feel wrong and we're encouraging something that the Lord wouldn't let us do.
Well, you can't do it outside your conscience, even if it's...
Well, that's true.
You know, even if it's not wrong in and of itself, if your conscience won't let you be a part of it, you can't do it, because then it's sin for you. So, there are a lot of things to consider as you take on this, shall I work for pay outside the home? And I will tell you, I've seen a lot of women who are stay-at-home mommies and are so involved in their volunteer work that they have all these same issues. And I'm all for volunteer work. I think it's a great thing. But it also has limits that have to be capped.
Well, there's a friend years ago that worked for Ben and Keith, and I didn't realize at the time, Christian, and I said, you're working for the beer company? And she said, well, I work in the retail part of it, made a store, mm-hmm. and it wasn't just the beer. But that was my first thought when I heard of Benny Keith.
Benny Keith's food distribution. They distribute yeah. beer, too?
I didn't know
yes. yes. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Vegetable okay. people.
Well, I didn't know.
Yeah.
But she knew, because she worked for them.
Mm-hmm. And I knew.
Yeah.
That was my first thought, was the beer.
Yeah. Yeah, it has influences on other people.
The decision whether to work outside the home or not is specific to that family,
it
too.
Is.
You can't give an answer and say it applies no. to all families.
No. Kate used to cry and cry and cry and beg me to homeschool her. And I'd say, we have to eat. I can't homeschool you. I have to go to work. Would I have made that decision otherwise? Probably. She'd have probably been better at home. But I didn't have the option. Now, I will say that a whole lot of people say, well, we both have to work to make it. And I would tell a Christian to really examine that by what you mean by make it. I used to get very, very annoyed with people who'd say, you are so lucky that you get to stay home. Luck had nothing to do with it. It was a financial decision that we made. And lost a lot of money over the years by my not working while the kids were little. It was still a decision we wanted, but it wasn't luck.
I see a thing that young people do that if they were wise enough they wouldn't do, but every time they get a good raise or something, raise their standard of living where they're just barely making it. Mm-hmm. And then it happens again, we go up again and we're barely mm-hmm. making it. When you could kind of level off a little and have something to...
Well, I was watching one of those...
Go back on.
Extreme cheapskate shows, you know, that we've talked about. I didn't think this guy was too extreme. I thought he was smart. But he said they rose to a certain standard of living, and they stopped. They agreed that that was where they were going to stay. He said, we don't have any iPods, and we don't have any named seven or eight things. But he said, this is the decision we made, that this was enough. He said, consequently... We have a lot of money in the bank because we didn't have to keep upping and upping and upping the ante on what we would spend. So, you know, and I agree with you completely. If all you're doing is living paycheck to paycheck and you have a chance to get out of that just for your mental health, why wouldn't you? Just so you could breathe. But you're right, Carol. It's a family decision and it's specific to each family. And... are we going to have to both work so we can put food on the table and feed our children, or are we both working so we can have the boat for the weekend? I'm not opposed to boats. I'm not opposed to, you know, hobbies that are in keeping, stay within the boundaries of God's law. But I do think that we can become so materialistic without realizing it that we have to be very cautious. She goes on to say, comparison should be honestly and prayerfully made to ensure that the woman will be able to serve God, her family, and her employer fairly. You know, you're making an obligation to this employer. And you cannot leave every time maybe your child has a play at school. Maybe you can. Maybe that employer allows that. But you have to know going in that you're also making a contract to work for the pay you're given. And you have to do it well. And that doesn't mean you sit on the computer and check all your personal emails and pay your bills on company time. I had some young ladies who worked for me, and they were really good friends, and they worked in the same county office, which we later fixed. It's a fair amount. But they would disappear. And within the job, they did have reason to go into the community and make stops and things. So leaving the office was not an issue. But they would leave together. And they would be gone a really long time. And we found out later that they were doing some grocery shopping and a little clothing shopping and not attending to the business that they were supposed to be doing. So put them in two counties. But you can't shortchange your employer either.
I had a guy that would go get haircuts.
Oh, on company time. How nice.
Yes, he did it in the military, so he thought he could do it in the civilian.
Doesn't work that way. The worthy woman in Proverbs 31 was able to dabble in real estate. I don't like the way she says that. It sounds like she managed that vineyard and did it pretty well and earned money, and I don't think that's dabbling. Make and sell cloth and garments to the merchants. But the inspired writer was still able to record the following about her. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise and call her blessed, and her husband also, and he praises her. Every time I read about her, I get tired. She's the busiest woman. She just was working all the time. Lydia was a professional woman who, where were we? Tommy, would you read Acts 16:14?
I can see it.
No? You want me to go on?
Yeah, my glasses
okay.
are bad.
You go on.
What is it, Acts 16?
Acts 16:14.
Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshiped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul.
So she worked, she sold and made money, and she served God. She managed to make it both. The next paragraph starts out, some women can do a better job of running both a home and a career at the same time maintaining a serene attitude than some of the rest of us can do either. And I agree. There's some people that look like they manage that so well and juggle it so well.
What you call multitasking?
Multitasking on a big level.
The woman on page 1-2 that's doing the dishes doesn't look like she's...
She doesn't look like she's having much fun. She just doesn't look serene.
I was just sitting here with my mental map pencils and coloring a black uniform with a white apron.
Yeah, she doesn't look like that's her favorite job.
Her husband isn't in there helping her.
That's right.
Oh, he helped. He made the mess.
Oh, okay.
She would look more odd with a man helping her than not.
Gina. Yeah, I was going to say, I have found over the years, though, that when you see people who, you know, when you see them for a thing and they're doing all, they have a lot of help that you don't always see. And that's what people get caught up with. How do they do that? How do they do that? There's a lot of help that people don't see. Or they may not be doing some things that they should or do, you know. I have to keep a list of all that I get to do. I'm yeah. very structured in that way or whatever. But people don't realize that. They think they do it all, and that's not always the case. That's why I used to make such good money cleaning houses.
Yeah, because they didn't do that part.
Yes.
I like what she says here. Whether or not a woman enjoys her work depends a lot more on the woman than on the work. We've seen people in jobs that we would just hate who are whistling while they go, you know. They're enjoying what they're doing. And I think that goes back to what we talked about. They know the value of the work. It's a reward within itself to understand that they're making a difference in somebody's life somewhere. Have you ever been seriously ill and wished with all your heart you could be up like usual, washing dishes or even scrubbing the oven? I have to admit, I've never wished to scrub the oven, never. But I do know what she's saying. When you are ill and can't do your normal activities, then even the kind of drudgery ones sound good because you're back into life. You're back into doing what you do.
And at my house, you'll only be waiting when you get away.
That's right.
I'm painting a bad picture.
You are. I'm going to have to defend my dad here in a minute. It's all in the way you look at it. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, not unto men. Our obligation is to God. And God has shown us how to handle our earthly obligations. We know we're supposed to be good stewards. We know we're supposed to be a good bondservant to our master. We're supposed to do what we've agreed to do. And if you go to work grudgingly and harumphing all the time, I'm not sure you're giving to that employer what you should be giving. And maybe it's time to change jobs if you're at that point. But she says here, in a very real sense, we're serving God when we do all of our jobs well, when we're doing our mothering job well, when we're doing our wifing job well, when we're working for others and doing it well. that reflects on us as Christians, and that's what the world sees. What was it? Somebody said, I'm thinking about a time at work, and somebody said something about taking a longer lunch hour than they were supposed to, and well, nobody would know. God knows. Mm-hmm. You're given this amount of time, and God knows whether you did that or didn't do it. And people at work know it. They know if you're the one that slides away for an extra 30 minutes every lunch hour. And just from a human standpoint, they resent it because they've come back on time and you're out playing. So, like the guy with the haircuts, you know, the coworkers resent it. Even if they never get caught through the workforce, it's a bad influence. Our influence as Christians has to always be one of honesty and integrity. And here's what we agreed to do, so we're going to do it to the very best of our ability. We're not going to lie on the annual reports that have to be done. If we didn't do whatever we were supposed to do, we're going to fess up to it. And how are we going to do it better next time? Because the integrity piece is huge, in my opinion. That the people in the outside workforce need to see you as someone who is absolutely honest, absolutely going to do what they say they're going to do. No question. You know, we used to hear the phrase, my word is my bond. You don't hear that very much anymore. But it still needs to be true of Christians. If I tell you I'm going to do something, then you should be able to walk away and know that it's handled. That I'm going to take care of it. Put these back on so I can see myself. If you can't beat them, join them. On page 104. It says, a person who's convinced himself he doesn't like his work has a monotonous repetition of unpleasant emotions while he's working, and he's well on his way to a seriously emotionally induced illness. And that's probably some really good advice. If you hate what you do every day, your body responds to that, and you will surely suffer some kind of physical consequences from that over time. But people who are busy don't have time to sit around thinking about their own problems. Blessed is the woman who's too busy to worry in the daytime and too tired at night. God's version of this is, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet. Ecclesiastes 5:12. When we've worked hard, we've earned our reward of sleep and rest and getting ready for the next time. So certainly we haven't answered whether women should go out into the workforce. I don't think there is an answer to that. That's the right answer, because we have examples. If we didn't have examples in the Bible of women earning money, I would say that we had, you know, we didn't have any right to do it, but we have them. We're out of time. I feel like this has absolutely flown by today, maybe because I was talking so much. Questions, comments? Let's pick up the work in paradise.
When I was growing up, it was pretty well common to
talk, I guess.
Women shouldn't work out.
Mm-hmm. Well, and
that's changed.
And men felt very strongly that my wife won't work. It makes me look like less of a man. It's changed very much. I hear my young students all the time, their husbands expect them to go to work. It is not even considered that they can stay home and care for a family. So I think Christian young women who want to do that have to very, very strongly at the beginning of a relationship say, this is my goal and my expectation. I'm going to be home with my young children. And if he hesitates at that, then there's some serious talk that needs to be done, because it's a little too late once you're into the relationship and your husband's head of the house. There's some serious problems then. And many things that I don't like about Randy Anderson, but he never expected me to leave the kids and go to work. Till he left and made it where I had to. But when we were married, he liked that I was home with the children. And that's where I wanted to be. I've had a few people over time say, it's really a shame you didn't stay home with your kids. And that's very painful, because I did as long as I could. And, you know, sometimes I have to just kind of walk away because I'm going to say something that might not be very nice. this. Now, before we get out of here, Yvonne, tell us about Opal.
Oh, she just was having stomach problems this morning.
And she said her daughter...
Her daughter Joy is having, she said, severe pain in her right shoulder. And so she went to the doctor and they couldn't see her and she called them back. So she went in, they gave her a steroid shot and said that it helped for a little while, but then it's hurting again. But it may take a while for that to take effect, I don't know. This is Joy that could bring us sometimes.
Anybody else we need to talk about?
Amy is still on bed rest. I'm not sure how many people knew that. And she told me that it'd still be helpful to have meals. So if any of y'all are looking for something to do.
Okay.
I'm going out there tomorrow.
Okay. I called. She said she's going to try to come on Sunday. So we'll see if she's going to bring the water.
Okay, so Yvonne, you said you're going out there. Are you going to take food? I'm coming into Fort Worth. You're taking food tomorrow?
Tomorrow afternoon.
Okay. Well, I'll do something.
Bringing her something tonight after church, so maybe something this weekend.
And in case y'all don't know, I found out the hard way. Mark went out of town, and Lewis and Trisha are there. So I wasn't expecting that. I went out, and I was like thinking, oh, please, I hope I have enough food. Lewis and Trisha are there. So.
And the baby was cleared, I think, whatever.
Good. The jaundice.
Yeah.
Now, Pat, we're going to your house?
Yes. And anybody that didn't know about it is welcome to come. Does everybody know where you're going?
No.
No, we'll follow you.
You don't have your directions?
No,
I have a couple.
I don't know how to go if anybody wants to ride. She has
directions. I'll just follow.
Thank you.
If you'll bring it
in. I'm going to go eat.
Because I have the directions here if anybody wants something.
I'll have to.
Are you going?
You'll be there.
I have an appointment in Weatherford, too. Yeah. I think that would be
good. I probably don't
know. I have to keep Grayhead's. That would be a one.
Oh, okay.
I'm
not sure.
By the time we all get there.
All that mess
over
there on.
Okay. Thank you, ladies. Appreciate it.